Log Talk Radio.
This guy. Man. All black, 79. Just let me know when it's close at 10:15.
It's 10:10, so we're starting at 10:15 now?
Yeah. I put it at 10:15, right? I hope so. Okay, good, good. Yeah, good. All right, let's start.
Anything good this weekend?
Nothing too crazy. Just chill. Just chill in the store. Some beats and yeah, pretty low key, really.
Nice.
What about you?
Just cooked, and then did some grilling on set Friday. Made some pizza today, and then went golfing yesterday. So.
Oh yeah. Okay. That's so. Talk about it in a sec. Just getting these names in the I'm gonna do a giveaway for
channel members.
Yeah. I'm gonna send you one of these posters too that that Chuck had made last year for the Knicks 75th.
Oh, that'd be sick.
Yeah,
I'm gonna think maybe have it right behind me.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be perfect. So I'm going to get that out to you this week.
You got the one with me jumping out the window?
Did he have that one? He did make that one, didn't he?
He did make that one.
We can ask him for it. He'll send it over.
All right.
Yeah.
As many times you could say, hey, the great Chuck D drew me jumping out the window.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So figure 15 minutes each for the first two and then try to keep the mailbag to a half. Try to keep this to an hour. Barring any calls, which you might get. Who knows? We'll see.
People are tuning in, man.
Yep.
Numbers are there for KFTD.
Say that again.
The numbers are there for KFTD. People are tuning in.
Yep. Okay, so for the first one, 45.5, okay, we don't really need the Jumbotron like that. Second one, we will, so I'll just set it up in that time. I might have time to do it now. Oh, next muse. You saw the Berman post I put up. Remind me to
Yo,
get to
him
that.
With hair, that's crazy.
Yeah, Maria had the fucking fact book from the 99-2000 season. So I was I was going through it yesterday. And it came up, I was cracking up. So remind me to get to that at the end of the show.
It's part
of the bullshit. All right. Oh, Slack, Linux Mules, okay. Okay. Get to this. this.
Talk about Bleacher Report's top three prospects for the Knicks?
Yeah. It's an easy one to talk about.
Yep.
What do I want to do here? What do I want to do? Okay. All right, ready?
Yes, sir.
Check, check. Check, check. How much space we got here? 5 gigs. That should be good. That should be good. Backtrack vertical clip. Backtrack vertical clip, 120 seconds, streaming, boom, 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 boom. Okay. Recording. Okay. All right. Okay. Ready. What's up?
Just seeing some Puma sneakers and I'm like, oh, want to get some of those.
Nice. One, check two, check one, check two. Let's run it back. All right, here we go. Salute to Knicks Nation on this Sunday night. Another edition of Knicks Weekly, episode 66. On tonight's show, we're going to talk about the Knicks win projection over or under 45.5 wins. What do you guys think? Plus, Bleacher Report released their top three Knicks prospects currently in this organization. We're going to debate that. And we took questions from our loyal franchise channel members, man. It is a fan mailbag episode plus some more, man. So salute to everybody in the chat. Hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Hit that share button and lock in. Number one show for the fans by the fans. Number one Knicks podcast for the fans by the fans is in the building. CP the franchise, Alex Chitaros on the ones and twos. Knicks Weekly episode 66. Salute, 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 man. All right, man. How you feeling, bro?
Good,
is Mr. Vegas back to normal? Are you good? How you feeling, bro?
I am back to normal. I'm healthy.
Okay.
My Bibles are there. It's all good. Everything checks out. So good. I went out this past weekend and played 18 holes of golf.
Wow. Wow. So you got into your Tiger Woods bag now. You're very multidimensional, man. I like that, bro.
Hey, man. I try to keep everybody on their toes, man.
Yeah.
I actually had my – it's interesting, CP. The less I play golf, the better I play. This is a very new, interesting dynamic.
That's
for me,
very interesting.
I'll tell you this.
Because
it's
a muscle memory game. It's very interesting.
Dude, it's really crazy. I shot 98. I finally broke triple digits.
Okay.
Going out into the course. And I was like, whoa, This is new territory for me. I played like 3 times last year. This is my first time getting out there. I get under 100. I'm like, all right, we're good. We're good to go.
I just got to
keep playing less.
There you go. Interesting. A very interesting dynamic, man. And what else? You said you got some grilling in this weekend?
I did. I made some cedar plank salmon on Friday.
Oh, you fancy with it. Now you're in your emerald mode. Cedar plank salmon. Please describe that for us. You're getting a little bougie with me now, man. You're golfing. You're up at Martha's Vineyard. Now you're doing your cedar plank salmon. You're getting a little bougie on me now. Please explain, because I'm not familiar.
Okay, it's cheap. You can buy 12 planks of cedar plank for like off of Amazon for like 15 bucks. All right, you get them for 15 bucks.
Okay.
Bought my salmon, put a little lemon zest, some olive oil, salt, and pepper,
Simple.
Put that all there.
Yeah.
Keep it simple, all right? Made some asparagus on the side, some potatoes on the grill as well. Very simple, man. The budget's very low for this.
Gotcha.
Nothing complex.
Gotcha. So the salmon is cooking on the cedar plank.
That is correct.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
So you
got
to soak. Make sure to soak. If you ever do it, very cheap, easy to do. You get the plank, soak it for about 3 hours, throw it on there. Make sure to spray the salmon as it's cooking on the grill.
Okay.
It takes 15, 20 minutes. You're all good.
Got you. Okay. There it is. Andrew H. says, Alex is an aristocrat. Yeah, I'm noticing that, man. I'm noticing that.
No.
Yeah.
I'm a simple man.
Yeah.
I just like to do things over, you know, just in my means.
Yeah.
In my budget.
Step it up a notch. I feel you, man. I feel you.
Just trying to keep up with you. You're the one wearing CP hats, CP shirts out here.
Yeah,
you know. You
know,
you live it.
I try to extend the brand a little bit. I do try to extend the brand a little bit. By weekend, no, I didn't go grilling. I was just out and about, man. You know, me and the lady was out and about.
Nice.
Got a little hooping in yesterday.
Again?
Saturday. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. You know, every time I try to enjoy my retirement, you know, I just get pushed back into the mix. So I went to the park, got some hooping in, played one-on-one.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, last time we were at the park, we got it in. We played teams. We played 2-on-2. But we went early in the morning, and it was just me and her. So usually when it's just me and her, we'll shoot around, play a little around the world, do a little shooting contest, a little free throw contest. I try to redeem myself after, you know, last couple of outings at MSC didn't go so well. So I try to just get back into the flow. I have my RJs on, my brand new Puma Nitro. Shout out to my guys at Puma for the gift.
Let's go.
So I'm styling and profiling. I was feeling good. Jumper was feeling smooth. And then all of a sudden, she's like, check up. Oh, whoa. Is that what you want to do right now? And she's like, yeah, she wants to shoot the fair one. She wants to go one-on-one.
Getting a little challenge out there early in the morning.
Yeah, a little challenge. So I said, all right, you know, let's do it. So that's what we did, man. Got it in. Got a good workout in. Some good cardio in. And came out of there victorious, of course.
I was going to ask who won this battle. So
No. I won. I won. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Played two games.
Just making sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Were you playing like Mace? Is that what you're doing? You're in your Mace bag again?
You know,
I was
really working on my fadeaway. That's what I was trying to. Yeah. I was just, you know, I was really just working on my post moves and working on my fadeaways and stuff like that. Just really just working on my jumpers. Just trying to get that back into form, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It was good.
Are you going to send the highlights to RJ so he can learn?
Yeah. I felt, are you taking a shot at my guy, RJ, man? Are you taking a shot at my guy, RJ, bro?
I'm just having fun, man. I'm just poking a little fun.
Nothing wrong with
poking the truth for what we saw last season.
Of course. Of course, man. Either way, salute to everybody in the chat, man. Hit that thumbs up button for your boys. Knicks over-unders, Al. Caesar Sportsbook has come out with their win projections for the Knicks. Not every team has their win projections. I believe they didn't make one for Miami yet, and I don't believe they made one for Philly yet, obviously, because those teams are kind of in flux. But for the Knicks, they had it at 45.5 wins. So the question for you, the question for people at home watching, over or under, where are you going with it?
45.5. I'm going to go over 45.5. I'm
jumping out the window pre-preseason.
Well, you know, man, I'm looking at the East.
Okay.
Right? All right. If you're going to ask how I'm figuring this all out, why am I going 45.5? Look, we were on a 50-game win pace last season. Prior to getting Josh Hart after the 9-man rotation change. So I'm going to take that into account, saying, okay, maybe we can kind of do that. You add Dante DiVincenzo to the mix, all right? The nucleus is staying the same. So we have some continuity here. So there shouldn't be that much difference coming into this season with the roster that we have, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to circle around. Let's look at just the division to start off,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to start off with the division. So we're going to talk about Philly. We're talking about Toronto, Boston, and Brooklyn. I don't see Brooklyn getting that much better. I see the Knicks being better there.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to talk to me about Philly. James Harden, that situation, drama. You know how drama plays into these things?
Yeah.
We don't know, man. I don't know. You can't really sell me on a Maxi and Embiid ticket saying, okay, now that's better than the Knicks. If anything, that's comparable to the Knicks.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, it should be even there. Boston, funny enough, I was playing with a Celtic fan on the links, and he's like, oh, I'm happy that we don't have Marcus Smart. And I was like, word? You're happy you don't have the heart and soul of your team?
Yeah.
I don't believe the Celtics are going to be that much better without having somebody who actually has the cojones to go out there and take the tough shots when Tatum and Brown could sometimes fade away into the game. So I'm confident against that. And we're with the team that we had last season, we went 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, they lost. You're talking about losing Grant Williams and Marcus Smart. That defense, to me, loses a little bit of that edge. So I think we could compete with them. Toronto was a mess last season. I think they're a mess this season. They don't really have everything together. And then you look at the rest of the East. Miami, I think they could be competitive. Cleveland, marginal improvements, not really scaring me from like a Knicks standpoint. The Bucks are really the only team to me that is still that team that you got to be on the lookout for. They didn't really lose anybody significant. You know, they were still able to retain Brooke Lopez and Chris Middleton.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago, still a mess to me.
Yeah.
Atlanta, not really factoring in. Maybe you think about Indy taking a step forward, but their step forward is not enough to me to what the Knicks could do. So I'm thinking the Knicks are going to get over 45 wins, man. They're going to probably get 46 and more.
I like that. I'm going to go the same. I'm going over.
Oh, so you're jumping out the window with me. I'm going to jump with you.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Let's go.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the same. Now, obviously, injuries, first and foremost, durability has to be at the utmost importance, right? Any injury,
yes.
We can't afford an injury to Brunson, damn sure can't afford an injury to Julius. If either of those happen for significant lengths of time, they're not going to make it.
Yep.
Especially with the lack of depth at the four spot. Can't afford a key injury there. So injury is going to have to be the key there. I'm going with, for this reason, another year of chemistry, another year together. You hope that the Brunson-Julius tandem can take another step because it had potential, especially in pick-and-roll efficiency. I would like to see them go to that a little bit more and grow together. We'll see how RJ fits as that third cog again in 2 years together with that trio. It's going to be a very interesting litmus test for them just to see going forward, do they have potential to grow or is this thing as clunky as it looked at certain points in the regular season? But I'm going to go with another year of experience and chemistry with that big three. Then I'm looking at the bench. The DiVincenzo pickup, I think, is going to lift this bench up tremendously, both offensively and defensively. I'm very interested to see how him, Quickly, and Hart get after it. They're going to be all after it on the defensive end. Their off-ball defense, their off-ball communication, their rotations, their switches, what have you. I think they're going to be in lockstep with each other. DiVincenzo being a ball hawk, his steal percentage being at one of the best in the league. Josh Hart as well at being one of the best in the league. Their ability to rebound, you know, getting out there and getting those steals is going to lead to easy transition hoops, which DiVincenzo and Hart are good at. You get Quickly out there with that tandem. I think that's going to work wonders. Hartenstein as well, another year with that group. Him having coming on hot from the seemed like the second half of last season into the playoffs. So I think that group gets elevated a lot because they were 25th in the league in bench points last year, bench points per game, 23rd in bench three-point percentage. I think DiVincenzo is going to help them out tremendously in that regard. So I think the bench overall will improve. How does the backup four spot look? I think right now it's Hart's position until we see otherwise. Does Nathan Knight impress And does he take Obi's 10 minutes a night? Maybe. We'll see what happens there. But I think Hart will be able to serve in that role until we figure out something else. You look at the record, they went 8-8 in the division last year. They went 2-2 against Brooklyn. I think they should be able to get, you know, anything happens depending on how you play these teams, how the schedule looks. I think they should be able to get 3-1 at least against Brooklyn. They don't have KD, they don't have Kyrie anymore. We're clearly a better team than the Nets. We should be able to show that in the regular season, again, depending on when you get them in the schedule. They went 1-3 against Toronto. 1-3 against Toronto. Toronto's still a tough matchup, even though they don't have Van Fleet, because they have those wings, Siakam, Barnes, Ananobi. I believe that really gave the Knicks, it was a tough matchup for the Knicks. They got Poeltl. You know, they're a little bit better in the front court. But 1-3 against Toronto, hopefully you can get 2-2, maybe a little above 500 against them in your four matchups. And they went 2-2 against Philly. We'll see what happens with the Harden trade. Does he get traded? Does he sit out? What happens there? If he does get traded and they don't get equal or better value, the Knicks a better team than Philly on paper? I would think so. So we'll see what happens there. They went 3-1 against Boston last year. And like you said, with no Smart, no Grant Williams, Boston's going to be questionable. How does Porzingis fit? How will they look defensively? How did they come together? Is there an opportunity there? But they still went 3-1 against Boston last year. So I think there's areas to improve. If Miami doesn't get Dame, forget about them. They lost Strus. They lost Vincent. I think Miami's looking at the bottom half of the East again this year, but not because they don't have it together, but because I don't think their roster is going to be as deep. You got another year of age on Butler, Lowry, and Love. We'll see what Jaime Jaquez does for them. Again, if they don't get Dame, we'll see what Jaime Jaquez does with them and Robinson. And I'm sure Nikola Jovic will get some playing time there. He'll squeeze into the rotation. We'll see how he looks there. But I'm not so sure about Miami going into the regular season. So you have question marks in Philly, question marks in Miami. Boston, we'll see. And the Nets, we should be clearly better than. We're better than the Hawks. We're better than the Bulls. Pacers will be improved. See what happens there. Should be able to get some wins against the Wizards. Sure. You know, the bottom feeders of the East, Detroit. So I like our chances, man. I like our chances to get over 45 if we stay healthy.
Yeah, I mean, you look at this past season, right? And you look at your top four teams in the East. It's Cavs were 51, Philly was 54, Boston was 57, Milwaukee was 58. Knicks were right there, man, 47. You could have even said, like, with a couple, like, between the Pacers game and the Pelicans game, they could have easily gotten to, like, 49, maybe 50, depending on how other games. So, and look, it was tough to begin last season, right? It was so up and down, but yet they were able to accumulate enough wins throughout that part of the season to really make it that much better for them. And I think when you're starting out and you already know you have that set plan for someone like Tom Thibodeau, who is very formulaic and how he likes to do things. And that's his whole thing too, right? He preaches that, like, knowing guys need to have, like, a rhythm on knowing when they need to come in and all that type of stuff. And he really keeps that down to the T. And I think it even goes to the method of his madness. So with all that, I think knowing what he has to begin with to start off the season, I think he'll be what we could see along those lines, close to 50. I wouldn't be surprised if we got to 50 this year.
Yeah.
In all honesty.
Yeah.
Like, just the way that the East is, it's so much parity, man. There's so much parity in the league, especially in the East right now. Like, obviously things could change, right? You could get Dame to Miami. That really tilts everything.
Changes everything.
You know, if James Harden decides to play and stick until he really wants to play, changes everything. 100%. But we're talking about ifs with those things, right?
Yeah.
As of right now, where the conference stand, based on the information that we have, I think you can talk about the Knicks being top five, top four team in the East, just how everything's looking right now.
Yeah, I think you could. And, you know, people in chat saying you can't count Miami out. You can't count Miami out. In the postseason, sure. But in the regular season, you look at that roster, how it looks right now. Without Dame, they lost two of their top three-point gunners in Vincent and Strus. Now you have younger players coming in trying to fill in here. Jimmy already has said in the past, he doesn't start turning up until after the All-Star break. They won 44 games last year. So if they don't get Dame, I think they could be around the same. I think they can be around the same. And then you still – now you have Charlotte. They'll get LaMelo back healthy. They get Miles Bridges. Not to say that they got to be moving, but, you know, that is that a team where can you get two out of three from them? Or you know, are they able to challenge the Knicks a little bit here and there? Orlando, well, same way. Pacers, well, same
about
way.
I think the thing about any NBA team, right, is that there are going to be teams that just – it doesn't make sense that they can beat. It's like last year when we talk about facing Toronto, right?
Yeah.
I thought we were better than Toronto. The games that we lost, I'm like, they were so close. They were so close where it's like, this is very frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
We're a better team. I get that physically matching up with them is difficult for the Knicks, but the Knicks weren't so far out where they were just overpowered by Toronto, right? You can go to a team like Boston, right, and how they lost to the Orlando Magic, and you mm-hmm. just think, how can such a talented team that was that's number one in the East for a good portion of the season lose to a team that's rebuilding, that has a bunch of young guys out there? So there are things that just don't make sense in this league, just matchup-wise. Like, it just happens to every team. It's not saying that – what I'm saying is that with a team like Charlotte, sure, they could beat the Knicks, right? They
yeah.
could beat win the series. But that still wouldn't, in my mind, change where the Knicks stand positionally along the Eastern Conference.
True indeed. True indeed, man. What do you guys think in the chat? Over or under 45 and a half wins for the New York Knicks, man? Both Alex and I are going with over. Let's hear what Cody Glock has to say on the matter. Let's go to Cody Glock.
Oh, boy.
It's summertime offseason Cody Glock edition. Calling in from the Discord, ladies and gentlemen. Cody Glock joining us early tonight. Cody, how you feeling, sir?
Can the brethren hear me?
Yes, loud and clear, brethren, yes.
Brethren, shout out Manscaped, man.
Yeah.
I average zero turnovers because of Manscaped, man.
Yes.
I take care of my ball profusely with the utmost friction in my mixing.
I got it.
Yo, it's looking like we running it back, B.
Yeah.
We running it back.
Yeah.
You feel me? Okay, we got my boy Dante La Dante, you feel me? He's cool.
Yeah.
You know, we got the action, stuff like that, or Jalen Brunson's water boy or whatever. He did ball out when it was time to win the championship. He was looking promising there, so that, yeah. that gives me my pride. That's all I need as a Knicks fan.
Yeah.
I'm a harbor on that one.
Good.
So, boom.
Yep.
You running it back. Yeah, Miami, they lost Gabe Vincent. They're not really doing anything next year. I don't see. Well, they getting Tyler Hero back, but I don't think they're going to really ball out like that. The Knicks got a chance to do something special here, man.
Mm.
They got a chance to win off chemistry, off solidarity, off being with each other. My boy, the little thun, you, my little thun, RJ, I always pull through for you, baby. Mm. You like my life's word is born, B, righteously
okay.
speaking.
Okay.
I think he's going to untap his potential next. Yeah, that's going to happen for the Knicks, man, because Don's not pushing the needle. We're not going to get nobody. RJ, I think he's going to be nice to ball for Canada.
Good.
Nice look in the mirror. If I want to be here next year, if I want to be a little done next year, if I want to stay on the team, like miss the team, because Mitchie's the best player on the NBA in the Knicks. Well, I shouldn't say NBA. You know, we got Jokic, but Mitchie's number two.
Yeah.
And
oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute, man.
He wants to beat
me. Wait a second. Speaking of Mitchie, ain't no snitchy. Don't forget that. Mitchell Robinson had a baby today or over the weekend. Any word on whether you the godfather? What is the situation? Mitchell Robinson, man. What say you, man?
I mean, hey, I ain't know Mitchie had a Mitchie Jr. cooking up in the oven. You know, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That new news to me, see.
Yeah.
I'm big on Mitchie, you know. Mitchie Hive through and through. I didn't know he was doing this, man. And to be honest, bro, Mitchie wasn't even giving me that vibe, B.
Oh, man.
He was kind of soft-spoken. I didn't even get that from Mitchie. I'm happy.
Oh, man.
Mitchie spread his tongue on the land.
All right. Well, we're going to drop you off because your connection was real staticky. It was real matrixy on the Discord. No communication from Mitch's camp with Cody Glock. We'll do a better job of that next season, connecting the two camps, just letting it be known. Mitch does watch the show. Mitch and his camp do watch the show. Maybe we'll send him a Mitchie Ain't No Snitchy t-shirt or something like that. Cody did say we got to make the t-shirt, so that's something that we got to work on, during the regular season. But, yeah, congratulations to Mitch, man. Mitch had a baby. I don't remember if it was a boy or a girl, but, we'll see if we can make Cody Glock an honorary godfather or something like that, Least we could do.
Congrats to Mitch. And it's only right, man. It's only right in the universe that Cody Glock gets to be the godparent of Mitch's newborn. I mean, come on, man. He calls in. That's his guy right there, man.
Yeah.
He's the number one Mitch supporter out there, bro. Every single night calling it.
Yeah.
Even in the off season.
That's right.
Oh, always bigging up Mitchell Robinson.
No question about it, man. So salute to Cody Glock. Good to hear from him in the off season. Zay from Maryland. Zay, if you can hear us, man, go ahead and I'll mute your mic on the Discord.
Yeah, man, fellas, how you doing tonight?
Good, man. How you feeling, Zay?
I'm all right, man. Finally getting on. I keep missing these live shows, but
yeah,
glad I was able to get on tonight, man.
Absolutely.
I just seen a few things, man. I want to talk about just more of the where do we go as far as I know Obi's gone, and Obi was like higher on the higher end for 3-point shooting.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, what's our, I think we're going to drop off when it comes to 3-point shooting just off of Obi. I know he wasn't like, he didn't get that many minutes, but it's just like, who's the next to come up now? So in even that role, I know people saying the small ball with RJ and possibly Hart, but I don't know. I don't have much faith in that either. So I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you think we're still cooking up something else, or what's the plan, or do you think, what's your thoughts on it?
Yeah. I think the plan is sit by and wait for either Spider or Embiid. I think that's the plan. I think the team that you're looking at, outside of a 48 trade, and if they can get lucky, like if they would have been able to pull off the trade, the three-way trade with the Suns and the Pacers and getting that salary, the trade exception, that would have been phenomenal for getting Fournier off the books. If they can get something like that, I think that would be great. But outside of a 48 trade where you're either getting salary back or low-level picks, I think this is it. This is what you're looking at.
So with that being said, my standings, I'm going to guess we're probably going to drop a few games. I mean, I was watching highlights the other day, man, and Obi definitely was a lob threat regardless, and then he also was shooting corner threes where I don't see – I know Dante's coming in, but that's just sliding down one of the other guards.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to guess we're going to probably be at like 43 to 45, just a few games. But that's where I'm at with how many games we're going to win this season.
Okay. All right, appreciate it, man.
But thanks, guys.
Yeah, man, good to hear from you, man.
Yeah, you too. I know.
Good to hear from you. I mean, look, we're definitely, we're definitely going to miss Obi's athleticism. That's without question. You're going to miss that. And this is a team that could use it. We need more athleticism on this team, more so at the wing. But we will miss that. And he was able to get on those leak outs and cherry pick and get his easy buckets there. Corner threes, what have you. Well, with DiVincenzo, you're getting a good three-point shooter in his own right. And this was an interesting stat here as well, Al, from Hardwood Paroxysm, HP Basketball on Twitter. Good account to follow. The Knicks have two of the top 10 spot-up three-point shooters among qualified players. Last year, DiVincenzo at 46%, Brunson at 46 as well. So
it was DiVincenzo and who was the other one?
Brunson. DiVincenzo and Brunson. DiVincenzo and Brunson at 46%.
Makes sense. That's Brunson. yeah, man, I don't think the Knicks are going to lose that much in three-point shooting. I think the volume that – because Obi was averaging in his minutes was about 4 attempts. Dante averages about 5. You know, Obi was shooting around 34% with those 5 attempts, with those about 5 attempts. Dante shooting close to 40. I think you just get a few more buckets here and there from Dante DiVincenzo for 3. I don't think the Knicks take that big of a step back from 3-point shooting.
Yeah.
At all.
They still need more of it, right? You still need better improvement from Grimes, RJ, Julius, those three in particular.
That's the thing, right? It's like, how do you get more of it? And where the Knicks were last season, I'm pulling up the numbers right here just to see where they were in the league. Computer's a little slow on me, so work with me for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Knicks were – wow, it's really taking some time. All right. Always technical issues, man. Just when you want to get something done. You know how it is.
Yeah.
All right. I'm looking at it. I'm still looking it up.
Okay. Yeah. Salute to everybody in the chat, man. Hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Salute to our franchise channel members, man. See a lot of them in the chat right now. I see Gotcha Open, JJ, Scott Novak. Salute to TM, 6 months as a franchise channel member, man. Appreciate TM, big time member of our family here. Reynaldo Maldonado in here. Salute, salute. And we're going to get to our franchise channel member mailbag in just a bit, so hang tight on that. Go ahead, Al.
There we go. So the Knicks were during the regular season, they were 8th in 3-point attempts, so averaging 35.7 3-point attempts. I expect it to be the same. You know, that was a big emphasis that you heard Randall and everybody talk about last season coming in, was that Tibbs wanted more 3-point shots, and I think that's going to stay the same with Dante DiVincenzo entering the fold. It's just being able to knock it down, man. That's the big issue when it comes to this team, is can they knock it down at a good rate? And they didn't last year. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a point of the season where they were, right, when they were hot from that nine-man rotation change. You had Randall just shooting the cover off the ball,
right,
along with Brunson. Knicks were teetering in the top half of the league. Overall, they finished 19th with a three-point percentage of 35.4. So efficiency is going to be a big portion of this thing.
Yeah.
Can they be more efficient when they take threes for this team? You hope so with DiVincenzo, right? Once again, DiVincenzo coming from the Warriors, different offensive system, still shot well in Milwaukee. So I'm still confident that he can shoot well here. But let's see how it all plays out, because when you're playing a lot of ISO ball, man, it's different for everybody to get into rhythm, right?
Absolutely.
So that's the thing. So can everyone get into rhythm off isolation, if that's still going to be the main way this team's playing?
True indeed. True indeed, man. Charles Crute, franchise channel member. Salute, salute, man. So far, Al, 83% have voted over on the 45.5 win projection. So we have a lot of optimism in the chat tonight. A lot of people feel like the Knicks can crack that number one. 47 games last year. Again, another year of chemistry. Another year. Yes, they have big holes at the wing and the backup four, but they still added some more Tibbs-like players in DiVincenzo. You get another full year with Hart. There you go.
What do the Knicks need, CP?
What?
What do the Knicks need?
A wing.
We need a wing.
Oh, we need a wing. Yeah, we need a wing. We need a wing. We need a wing. Absolutely. We need a wing. Who it is, we'll see. We'll see in due time, man. Next topic, Al, is Bleacher Report, our good friends at Bleacher Report. They have come out with their top three most promising prospects for the Knicks, and they've listed Quickly, Grimes, and Sims. Now, to qualify, because some of you guys are probably saying, where's RJ, where's RJ? Their qualifications for this, 25 and under, no more than 3 seasons of NBA experience. So that would disqualify RJ from this list. So there's no RJ disrespect. That's just how they wanted to qualify the list. Your thoughts on the list. Quickly, Grimes, Sims, did they get it right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there somebody else that I'm missing?
Well, Quickly, I would put Quickly one for sure. He's ahead of Grimes in terms of being a two-way player. I mean, he finished 2nd in the NBA in voting for the best bench player in the entire league. So let's give credit to Quickly there. That was a tremendous accomplishment for him. Grimes had a good season in his own right, especially defensively. The defensive statistics that I read out when we talked about him making the USA select team. Grimes is due. Hopefully offensively he catches up. Three's interesting. I think.
How's it interesting?
Because I think Sims will get the playing time just based off of, one, the injury history of Mitchell Robinson. I think he'll get playing time there. And does Tibbs opt to go with a Twin Towers backup rotation of Sims and Hartenstein when we need some minutes at the backup four? They did that. He did that last year when Mitch went down. Does he do it again this year? So I think Sims will get his minutes. McBride won't get it. He won't get his minutes this year unless injury or like some crazy situation of foul trouble or the team just lets go of the rope early in one game and he just clears the benches. McBride won't get the minutes. But in terms of more promising prospect,
CP going on the McBride train with more promising prospect. Look at this.
What I'm saying is, in terms of promising prospect, I think Sims will carve out a good career for himself as a backup or third string big.
It's okay, CP. Just say you got belief.
What I'm saying is, if McBride can get his jumper together and get a respectable jumper, I'm not talking. He doesn't have to be Steph Curry. I'm talking about, can he get some respectability on his offense to keep him on the floor with what he brings defensively as a point of attack defender, his IQ, his hustle, his smarts. I think he can be more promising than Sims because I think he could tap into a higher offensive ceiling than what I believe Sims is capable of, if that makes sense.
I get what you're saying. Yeah, I mean, for a guard, there's a lot more that could happen.
Sure.
Correct. Absolutely.
Correct.
I get that. I think they got it right with Jericho Sims, though, in my opinion.
Okay.
I like McBride. G League McBride, I mean, that's essentially what you're talking about. Could G League McBride be a legitimate thing in the NBA? Could he get that mid-range going? You know, could he be more confident from three? Can he be that facilitator that you'd want out of that guard position? Totally understand that. I'm going to go with Jericho just because. And you noted it, and I think that's what comes into being more promising, right? Mm-hmm. You know Mitch is going to miss some time with an injury. Jericho comes in. I mean, when the Knicks went on that, what was it, when they beat Boston for the first time in Boston, it was Jericho Sims who was starting at center. Mm. I mean, going against Robert Williams for a guy in the second year, I mean, that's pretty promising, man.
Yeah.
You lose your starting center, defensive anchor, this young guy comes out of nowhere and is doing an admirable job. That's pretty promising, man, in my opinion. So I think for a career, it might not be the most flashiest thing that you see, but I can see Sims just because his verticality, what he offers there, just being a lob threat. I think defensively there's more to be there. I think his strength, once he understands how to read a defense, how to organize a defense, and utilizing the strength that he has, I think he could be a solid force as a center in the NBA for years to come. Now, offensively, there's a little bit of a floater there with a turnaround hook that he's got something of that nature.
Yeah.
I think if he could do that while still being a decent rim runner, you know, all that, if he can add anything offensively, that'd be great. But in what you see throughout today's NBA, just the skills that I'm talking about, that's promising as it is for a center. I mean, the Embiids, the Jokic's, they're so top tier. They're so on another level that it's very hard to find somebody. But look what we got. We're talking about Mitchell Robinson. You're talking about Jared Allen, Quinn Capella. You know, you're talking about Kevon Looney. These are guys who essentially do the same thing that we're just talking about for Jericho Sims, that if you can do that, that's pretty promising for a good NBA career. So I think they got it right.
What do you guys think in the chat, man? Did Bleacher Report get it right? IQ, Grimes, and Sims. What do you guys think about that? The Knicks' top three promising prospects. Now, this list could have been moved over from last year because the Knicks decided not to draft a player 2 years in a row now. So it's basically a retread of last year's list, sans RJ. So what do you guys think, man? Leave some comments in the chat.
Which is why I asked. I'm like, you're telling me that we missed somebody here?
Right. Yeah. It ain't Usman Dang. It's not Usman Dang.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it's not Usman Dang. It's not Jalen Williams or any of those guys. So, and it's not Kevontae George, who maybe they could have gotten if the Mavs didn't, you know, completely.
It's not Chris Murray either.
It's not Chris Murray. Yeah. What are you going to do? Salute to everybody in the chat, man. Hit that thumbs up button for you boys. And TM says, what's a draft? So there you go. Let's go to the phones, man. Area code 646. What's your name? Where are you calling in from?
Hello?
Yes.
Worldwide West here calling, man. It's been a minute.
Okay, Wes, how you feeling, man?
I'm good, brother. How about you, CP?
Doing well, man. How you feeling tonight? What do you think? Over, under 45 and a half wins. What are you thinking?
We definitely over 45 and a half wins. I foresee us making some type of an addition to the team, depending on, like, if we're not on pace to win 45 games,
mm-hmm.
then we're going to make a change. You know, it could be minimal to push mm-hmm. us over the hump, because I'm pretty sure the organization is committed to competing, right? But the question I ask myself and Knicks Nation is, like, in my opinion, and when I, like, really evaluated teams of the past,
mm-hmm.
I felt like the franchise was content with just being competitive and never really made the moves necessary to pair Melo, to pair Ewing, to pair mm-hmm. anybody with somebody who's a legitimate second star, you know, someone who's going to get them over the hump.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like right now we're kind of in the same situation. You know, whether you want to say second or third star, we need an addition to the team if we want to make it to the next tier mm-hmm. of top teams, right? So, you know, early on in the summer, I was getting kind of antsy. But, like, you know, reevaluating hindsight 2020, there was mm-hmm. no move that we should have made. Unless we could have stolen Paul George for, you know, a minimal package pause, which we didn't. So mm-hmm. basically, right now we're playing a patient game.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with allowing RJ to continue to develop quickly until the right move is made or the right move presents itself.
Mm-hmm.
The only caveat to that is you got to pay quick, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what happens if RJ's game, he takes another step back. Then, like, mm-hmm. when you're looking at him as the centerpiece of a trade, like, me personally, I would love to include RJ as a centerpiece of a trade and retain quickly, right? We constantly keep saying that, I've heard it said that we probably won't be able to retain quickly, but I feel that he's the second most important player on the team, or maybe third, you know, arguably.
Mm-hmm.
He had a huge impact to the success of our team this season. He was a complete flop in the playoffs. He didn't mm-hmm. get to play against the Heat, you know. But I still, you know, I'm going to look at the 82-game sample for 3 years, consecutive years in a row since he's been in the league. He's made a significant impact to us winning games.
Yep.
I don't think he's a youngin' that we should get rid of. I think he, over RJ, over Obi, that's the guy who we should retain moving forward. Right? He's, you know, lightning in a bottle. So I'm just wondering what that move to make is. I'm still sour over not acquiring Donovan Mitchell. I
mm-hmm.
feel like that was the first move that we should have made. And there was enough time in between the availability of another that we could have rode out with Donovan Mitchell, you know, got more assets, and four years would have passed. And then if Embiid or one of these other stars came
mm-hmm.
about, we still would have been pulled up to go and acquire him. I think we really dropped the ball on that. You know what I mean? And, like, everybody's
yeah.
kind of saying, oh, because we beat the Cavs, know that justifies everything. No, it doesn't, because we would have had Donovan Mitchell. So how would we have matched up against the Heat, right? You know, Grimes defensively showed up, but he was lackadaisical offensively. Quick wasn't there. Obi
yeah.
wasn't an impact player. You know, RJ kind of fizzled out in a couple of games against the Heat, although he did have a good playoff. So, you know, I asked myself, like, was that really a good move? Did we drop the ball on that, you know? You don't want
yeah.
to be hard on Leon Rose, pause, but, you know, because he's made so many good decisions. But that really, you know, that and it's like what you just said, you didn't draft anybody 2 years in a row. You couldn't jump into this draft in the second round and grab Imani Bates, a wing that you could have kept in the G League and seen how he played for a year, maybe pulled him up in December, January. Like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, we need
yeah.
a wing, and we're at a crossroads right now because we won 47 games. They're projecting us to win 45 games. We're going to win 46, 47 games. Is that improving, or is that staying,
well,
you know, status quo?
Yeah, I feel like, and appreciate the call, man. Like, I feel like he's right in that. Even as you wait for your big fish, whether it's getting Spider at your price, when you have a little more leverage, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they have a little more leverage this time with Spider, where they don't have to pay as much. Or you're going to go put all your chips in Miller for Embiid. While you wait on that, you still want to try to make your incremental improvements to the roster to make sure that your young players are also improving. So that's why I do think a DiVincenzo pickup is still important. Even though it adds a logjam to the guard rotation, I still think his skill sets will add another dynamic to this team that will elevate a guy like a Quickly. Like, imagine, you know, a DiVincenzo and a Quickly out there getting after it on the perimeter defense. You know, how does he help a Grimes? How does he help an RJ? Like, you still want to be invested in the overall development of your young core, and you can do that by bringing in more complementary pieces to your roster. So I think the Brunson addition has done that in partly. DiVincenzo will play a role in that, and you have to keep that going until you're ready to make that move. You know, did they drop the ball not getting Spider the first time? It's hard to tell, because it's hard to tell whether or not Danny Ainge was really interested in that, because you look at the way Larry Marketing was playing. I'm not so sure there was a package out there that the Knicks could have offered that would have given the Jazz what they got last year in a Marketing. He was outstanding. Outstanding. He was an all-star.
Most improved.
It most improved. His efficiency was off the charts. So I'm not so sure the Knicks package would have been good enough unless they would have overpaid to get Spider.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that's – we're talking about revisionist history, right? Would it be in our favor? Did we, you know, we don't even know who the Knicks had to involve in that trade, right? We heard RJ Quickly.
Grimes.
Do you actually take a step back? Or Grimes, do you actually take a step back if you get someone like Donovan Mitchell, because now you don't have the bench depth to actually help you? Sure. Do you actually still have enough draft assets to go make another move? But even with the draft assets, you still need to move players that make sense in order to go get a player in return. So it's a lot of hypotheticals, man.
Yeah.
I get it. But to your point, I do agree with you in getting someone like Dante DiVincenzo. You need good players in order to play good and to help good talent even improve, man.
Yeah.
It just goes across all lines. Like, you could, whether it's like playing even like a high school, college sport, like if you have good players, right, it just elevates the play of everybody else, because you want to keep playing well, especially if that person is also a good leader. If they're playing well, it pushes you to play better. They teach you parts of the game that you're probably not seeing. It helps you improve. And come on, let's keep it a buck. There's an ego there too, right? If the guy next to you is playing well and you're trying to earn your next contract, you're still trying to stand out, get your minutes and all that type of stuff, it's going to push you to play a little bit better as well.
Yeah.
So I think it's still good with the Dante DiVincenzo move. We're just talking about how does it actually all play out on the court, right? We could think of all these theories and how it all fits together. Just got to actually see the practice, but nothing wrong with the DiVincenzo move. I think it's just very difficult to look back. And personally for me, I just don't look at that move anymore. Like, the day that it didn't happen, I was like, yo, I'm fine. Based on what the Cavs had to give up to go get Donovan Mitchell,
yeah,
I was fine with the Knicks not doing that, because the Knicks in that position, we're overpaying. We're getting now Brunson and Mitchell as a backcourt, bad defensively. And there's a lot of if then that we can't even predict. I don't even know what the bench unit would look like. Is Evan Fournier getting minutes on the bench at that point? Is he part of the trade? Or he's probably part of the trade because of the contracts having a matchup, but what else fills out the roster? I'm fine with it. I don't think about it. We beat them in the playoffs. Knicks are moving in the right direction. If Donovan Mitchell wants to come to New York, still here, man. Just wait out your contract, Donovan. Wait out your contract. Come through a free agency. Let the Knicks keep their assets and they can help build a team with you, Brunson, everybody else.
Leverage, leverage. Area code 917. What's your name? Where are you calling in from?
Hey, what's good? This is Dayo. I'm from Brooklyn.
Zion.
Dayo, D-A-Y-O, Dayo. Yeah.
Okay, Dayo. Over, under 45 and a half wins.
Under.
Talk about it. Let's hear it.
You know what? I just feel like, you know, we haven't really talked enough, but, like, I think we really need to explore the Obi Toppin trade. You know what I mean? Because, like, I don't think that it was talent, bro. You know, I think that it was It was Paula. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear. Like your floor is yours.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I feel like too much politics is going on, and I would just really want to ask the question, like, you know, are we really focused on a championship, or is it like we're just trying to maintain, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like our free agency and, like, what we're doing, like Quick, you know what I mean? Like, look at what happened. I feel like Quick, his rookie year, you know, he did well. You know, he ended the year good. And then what did we do after that? We brought in outsiders, you know what I mean? We brought in Fournier, and then we also brought in Kemba. You know, Fournier was doing his thing, but we knew defensively, like, it just wasn't cutting it. You know, and I feel like Quick should have had way more chances to just, like, come in, and that could have been a whole year development. You know, some people are like, oh, you know, he gets his minutes now, but, like, just watching him, like, I really thought that, like, he should have got minutes. And then the Obi Toppin thing, like, why haven't we seen more of the Obi and the Julius on the floor? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
he didn't want to do it. He didn't feel like defensively they could hold up, and they probably couldn't. I think that was a lot more fans wishing than the reality.
Listen, right, I was talking about it in the chat. Name's Dial Dial on the chat. You know, we talked about it. I went back to that. Do you remember that Indiana game where for the first time we got to see a Knicks-only drafted roster? Remember, it was
yes.
Quick out there, point.
Quick,
it was
Grimes. Yep.
Right, it was Obi. What did we see that game? We seen ball movement that just when we have ball movement, bro, we are at our best. Like, I really feel like if we had let that team develop, we could beat any team in the league, right? Because we have ball movement, right? There's certain times Quick is going to have the advantage. Let him take the rock over. There's certain times Grimes is going to kill. McBride, he deserves minutes. Now he's out the rotation. And like, oh, DiVincenzo, but McBride, he balled out. I knew just watching him that he was one of our best on-ball defenders, McBride, and then we just stopped giving him minutes. You know what I mean? We had that Grimes out at small forward, topping that power forward. Sims, look, Jericho Sims, as much as I love for iHeart, Sims, he balled out. That could have been a year of development that we can see what Jericho Sims could do, right? You know what I mean? Like, our starting lineup, we got Brunson, Grimes, RJ, Julius. I just feel like there's some optimization in our lineup. You know what I mean? And, for example, RJ Barrett. A lot of people throw dirt on his name, but at the end of the day, he's third in line on offense. He's averaging 20, and we're complaining. And he's like, what, 22, however old is he? Like, what are we complaining about? He's third on offense, and he's playing out of position. You know what I mean? Like, I really believe that if we had RJ at the shooting guard and his natural position, and we just seen the sample size of what he could really do as, like, a number one, two option, it would be better. But he's playing the three. You know, it's the end of the day, like, for me, you know, if I were GM, you know, I would focus on Randall and Thibs, and I think we just need to see what the players that we drafted, you know what I mean? But we're bringing in other guys, and we really got to ask ourselves, like, what are we doing with our talent? Can we develop the kids, and can we just grow together as a team, bro? That's just what I want to see, man.
Appreciate the call, man. Appreciate the call. Dayo from Brooklyn. Rate that call from the chat, man. One being trash, five being facts. I'd like to present that call to the chat for a vote. What do you guys think, man? Rate that call in the chat. On the Obi thing, if you want to say it was political, look, they backed themselves into a corner with the draft. They had Julius, they had Obi, and Obi wanted more playing time. And they said, okay, you're our family. We're going to do right by you. Sent him to a team where he could now, it's open. You're not blocked by anybody. You can go out there. He can probably get the starting job at the four. You got him and Halliburton running and gunning. I'm very interested to see how they work out because, to me, that's a system that's going to work to his advantage. So I'll be watching the Pacers very closely, see how he looks. But it was a playing time thing. And both sides said, look, you're not going to get more than 10 minutes. He said, okay, if I'm not getting more than 10 minutes, then trade me. And that was all that was. Now, look, you know, the quickly Grimes Obi thing against a woeful Pacer team, is that really a bar to say what they could truly become? I don't know. It's good to see. I'm not going to say that, you know, they have greatness in them because of that one game. I'm not going to go that far.
I'm not it's hard to go that far, but I agree that there's talent there that was not utilized. And that's where it's like, you know, Tibbs could say defensively it doesn't work, but I think offensively it could work. I think offensively it could have worked. Isn't that guy offensively to be that creative to get them on the floor together, right? Mm-hmm. The thing is that when I look at Thibodeau as a head coach, we always talk about he needs these type of guys. He needs these type of guys. He needs these type of guys. Because there's one way he thinks about the game, and that one way how he thinks about the game is utilized to those type of chess pieces, right? Where there's some coaches where it's like they can see the player. They could say, okay, I can figure out how to make you useful in this role on this team somehow. I'll figure it out. That's just not Tibbs, man. That's just not. I accept that. I get that. I'm not the biggest fan of it because I think because of that, there's talent that doesn't get utilized and we don't get to see the best optimization of all the players on this team. I don't necessarily think it leads to a good offense. And we saw that in the playoffs. Teams that had good offense, good ball movement, figuring it out. So what happened with Boston? Boston could figure it out because they kept chucking threes. It was drive, kick, nothing really like nothing fluid to it. That's why you saw Miami get out there. They were able to figure out how to get guys involved. Denver figured it out. Lakers were doing a good job too. Look, man, I will get the head coach for partially that, but I don't think that means with all three of those guys that they could have been world beaters and defeat any team though.
Right.
But I do think there's that balance. I think there is that balance of saying there is a Thibodeau issue when it comes to offense and utilizing all these players. But I just don't think that at the same time, all these guys were going to be the super team that we've all been longing for to go out there and draft it all together. And you have quickly Grimes and Obi Toppin now winning the Knicks like three championships. I also don't believe that.
Yeah, it's a balance. Certainly a balance, man. So to everybody in the chat once again.
But I just didn't know, though. I'm just saying, like he said, we're going to get under 45 and a half wins. I don't know how is that – what part of that did he say that we're getting under 45?
Well,
how are we getting 45 and a half?
I think he pointed at the Obi trade as a big miss.
So because we traded Obi, we're getting under 45 and a half.
I'm just he didn't say that specifically. I'm only deducing, if you will.
Okay. You're just conducting.
I'm just conducting, you know. So we'll see what happens, man. Salute to everybody in the chat. Hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Go to manscaped.com. Hit promo code KFTV for 20% off plus free shipping. Let's get to the mailbag, man, from our loyal franchise channel supporters. Let's get to it. First question is from our guy, Will from LI. He says, taking into account this past season with the Knicks making it to the second round, would it be a failure of a season if they don't at least make it to the second round again? Alex, what say you? Is it second round or bust? You said over 45 wins.
Yep.
Is it second round or bust?
Mm-hmm. You're going to hate this. I'm going to go into my lawyer bag.
There we go. This is a word. Just don't give me a word salad, bro. What do you think?
It depends.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Well, I'm going to be honest, man. Do I think it's a bust? No. If you're telling me, like, here's how I think it's a bust.
Okay.
If you're telling me the Knicks are 1, 2, and 3 and they can't make it out, yes, that is a failure of a season. If they get to, like, the 4 and 5 again and they just get some wonky matchup, then yeah, I can kind of be okay with it. But no, if you're 1, 2, and 3 in the East, you're supposed to be a good team.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be a good team, right? That's how we felt when we saw the Bucks with Miami. It's like, wait a minute, you're the one seed, you lost? It's a little weird, man.
Mm.
You know, that's okay. How, like, if Boston lost in the first round, being a number two team, I'd be like, that's bad.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm going to say 1 through 4. If they get 1 through 4 and they don't make it out the first round, it's a bust. It's a bust. Now, it doesn't mean this is like a catastrophic setback for the – no, I don't say that. I wouldn't say that, but it would be a disappointing season. If they make it to the, say, 4-5 matchup and they lose, it would be a disappointment. I think it would be a
1 through 3. 1 through 3 means you're really dominant.
Yeah, 1 through 3 for sure.
Through three. If you can't get out of the first round 1 through 3,
yeah,
we got a problem.
And if you lose gentlemen sweep 4 or 5 like they did against the Hawks.
Oh, if it's gentlemen sweep at one of those,
yeah.
We're done.
Or
here,
even
right?
a 4-2, like they lost to the Heat, like where the Heat were clearly the better team. It's a disappointment if you're at 4-5.
No.
In a
no.
4-5
no,
matchup
no, no.
and you get
you
dominated.
You can't
like
have
that.
A 4-5 matchup and get gentlemen swept. That's
yeah,
nasty.
For sure.
That's nasty.
Yeah.
You're talking about now, it would be those scenarios are disgusting just because you would think that with Tibbs now going 2 out of the past 3 seasons in the playoffs, he should at those positions,
mm-hmm.
be able to lead a team like that into the second round.
True
1 through 3, you should be able to automatically get into the second round.
True
4 or 5, if you get gentlemen swept, we got problems.
Absolutely, man. Good stuff there. Good stuff. I want to shout out $10 super chat we got from our guy, Michael Parker, man. Just wanted to say salute Knicks Nation. Salute to our guy, Michael Parker, man. Long time supporter of this show. Never misses a show, man. Salute to Michael Parker. Okay. Next question. Let me load it up here. Salute to Will from LI. Another long time franchise channel member. Salute to Will for the question. And the franchise channel members who submitted questions tonight, Al, they're going to win a special gift that I'm going to announce at the end of tonight's show and announce the winner at the end of tonight's show. So make sure you guys stay until the end of the show to find out what the prize is and if you won, because it's a really good one. That's all I'll say. It's a really good one. Okay. Next question is from Smooth Guitar. He says, salute. My question would be, does the arrival of Dante DiVincenzo on the squad ramp up Quickly's development as a major contributor on our quest, or does it spell the end of his stay in New York? Personally, I think he's a key piece in a potential trade. What say you, Al? Does DiVincenzo spell the end of Quick, or does it ramp up his development as a major contributor? What do you think?
I think it's both.
Okay, talk about it.
I think it's both because we saw Quickly thrive as a combo-ish off-ball guard with Derrick Rose. Right now, he did do well as a sixth man last year. I'm not taking that away from him.
Yeah.
He can play that role too. But I think giving him that flexibility to be just – to either go in that mindset and be an attacker, and then on some nights he can go be that facilitator, right? Once he's able to figure that type of balance in his development, in his career, I think this is very good for him because having someone like Dante DiVincenzo who can also be a playmaker, can also be a scorer, kind of alleviates the burden for Emmanuel Quickly where he doesn't have to be that sole guy for the second unit, right? So, wait, can't even hear you.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's twofold. Having another guy out there in DiVincenzo, a high IQ player, a solid playmaker, a good decision maker, a winner, a guy that can get after it on the defensive end along with Quickly, can get offensive rebounds to get Quickly some open threes, right? One of the things that Tibbs likes to do once you get those offensive rebounds is kick out for three because you catch the defense off balance and somebody's going to be wide open. So typically, it would be one of your guards or your wing players. You can get out there. Defensively, I think the two of them are going to have excellent chemistry. I love the chemistry between Quickly and Hart when Hart got here. So overall, it's iron sharpens iron. I think that those three guys are going to be playing very well together off of the bench. Now, does it mean that Quickly is a candidate to be traded?
Not he's expendable at that point, in my eyes.
He does. Yes, he does become expendable. But it's not guaranteed. But yes, I do agree. I do agree because with DiVincenzo coming here, it makes a lot of these guys more expendable when you're looking at pairing off your depth to go get a big ticket item. So unfortunately, that's the case. And then if you think about the fact that if Hart is going to get what's rumored to be close to 20, you're paying RJ mid-20s. Julius is getting mid-20s. In 2 years, you're going to have to pay Brunson and Grimes. Brunson's going to get 50. Grimes is going to – we'll see what Grimes is going to command, right? If Quickly's going to get his close to 20, now you're talking about luxury tax creeping up second apron. Is this the team that you want to invest in long-term? So the overall improvement year over year for not just Quickly, but for RJ, for Grimes, is going to be very telling in terms of how this team invests going forward. So that's another reason why you can't just say, well, run it back and grow with the kids, because you have to consider people have to be paid. This is why I say a year after year after year, every young player is not coming along for the ride unless you're hitting a all-star superstar ceiling. Because if you're not going to be able to do that, everybody can't get paid to be a role player.
And that's what, but that's why I think Quickly is like, I think the writing's on the wall at this point that Quickly will be moved. We know he wants to be a starter in this league. If you're going to have Brunson here, he's not going to be the point guard of this team. Okay. Two, if Tibbs loves Grimes, if you want to keep him out there, you know, who's he value more? Is he value Grimes, Quickly more? You talk about guys getting paid. I look at that DiVincenzo contract, man. What is it, like 3-4 years for $50 million, right? That's what he got. Yeah. That is a cheap deal for somebody like DiVincenzo. Very cheap deal. And when you're thinking about Quickly getting 20 or north, and because of that Dante DiVincenzo deal, coming off the bench in Golden State, right? He's come off the bench for most of his career, if not all of it. And you think about Quickly right there, like, come on, man. Like, yeah. I think the writing's on the wall that Quickly will get moved, and I think they're seeing that. That's why you go out and get someone like Dante DiVincenzo. For the time being, both of them will be out there on the court playing, and I think it will help Quickly's development. But I think the writing's just on the wall at this point for Emmanuel Quickly, man. I don't see – look, he said it on Slam Magazine during that interview. He thinks himself as a starter. Puts himself up there with Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Right? That's who he's looking up to. That's his role model. So if that's the case, I don't see it here, man. I think it's getting ready. And with all the contracts he talked about, I think the writing's on the wall.
Writing's on the wall, man. The writing is on the wall. So that's that. Now, Quiet Money in the chat says there's no way Brunson's getting 50. Well, in 2 years, that's a fact. That's a fact. Fred Van Fleet just got 40 this year. LaMelo's extension, which starts in 2024, starts at 35 and it ends at 46. In 2 years, Brunson's getting 50.
Yeah, it's no question.
You can bank on that.
With the way the cap's going, too, 50 is going to look like the new 40.
Yeah, he's going to get 50.
That's just it.
He's going to get 50. Okay, so salute to Gomez. Oh, salute to Smooth Guitar for that question. And salute to everybody in the chat. Hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Okay, next one is from our guy, Fred Cantor. Fred, salute to our guy, Fred Cantor, a.k.a. Fred from Fresh Meadows, a.k.a. an OG on this channel, man. Longtime OG. Fred has several episodes on this channel, including our tribute to Willis Reed, as well as the episode where he dished on his book, Memoirs of a Knicks Fan. Really good book talking about Fred's tales as a Knicks fan, as one of us coming up with this team through the 60s and into that championship reign, the only two championships that the Knicks had. So make sure you guys check that out on the channel. Fred's question, Alex, speaking of Jalen Brunson, if Jalen Brunson had played alongside Patrick Ewing, how many rings would Ewing have won? How many rings?
We're not relying on Starks to take all those shots. I can tell you that in that matchup.
That's
shout out to my guy Starks, but unfortunately we're putting the ball in Brunson's hand.
Yeah,
we're getting that one. I'm gonna go one.
Okay,
I'm gonna go one. We would savor that one ring until kingdom come. Oh my goodness gracious! I'm gonna give you this relation. All right, you know how Boston Celtic fans live off that 09 championship?
Yeah.
All right, Euro Cup, Greece, 2004. Greeks win the Euro Cup soccer.
Yep.
They still live off that win.
Yep, I remember
still
that.
Live it. They still talk about it like it happened yesterday.
Yeah.
That's how we'd be talking about that ring.
Yeah.
How do you got? What do you got? What do you think happens?
If Brunson's playing in the 90s Knicks era, an era which the Knicks were desperately looking for help for a sidekick for Ewing, and look, Starks was great, but Starks would put you in a mental institution with how crazy he'd drive you with his erratic shooting. We needed help. That was the bottom line. Remember when Chris Herring came on the show, he talked about some of the potential candidates that the Knicks were looking at to pair with Ewing. He talked about Mitch Richmond, Kendall Gill, even Alonzo Mourning Twin Tower situation the Knicks were looking for to help with Patrick Ewing. If Brunson comes to the Knicks, I think they can get two, maybe even three. I'm giving them 93-94 against the Rockets. Giving them 93-94. Now, even though Harper could have been the MVP of that series had the Knicks won, had John Starks not shot themselves out of it, Harper would have won the MVP. Harper was great when they picked him up as a midseason acquisition in that 93-94 season. He was great. But with Brunson's offensive prowess, now, would he have been as impactful in the hand check era? I still think he could have.
He's physical, man.
Right.
Physical. Right. He doesn't shy away from contact.
That's right. I still think he'd be all right in the hand check era. So if you're thinking about his offensive productivity there, you're getting more help. Now, is Ewing going to trust him and defer to him? I think he would because of his offensive prowess. So I'm giving him 93-94. I'm giving him 94-95 as well. They went seven games against the Pacers. They lose on the Ewing finger roll. I think they can get there, ultimately get back and see the Rockets and go back-to-back against the Rockets. Okay? Anthony says, no way MJ would never let that happen. MJ wasn't there in those 2 years. MJ wasn't there those 2 years. I didn't say the MJ years. MJ years, we weren't winning. Forget that. MJ years, we weren't winning. Now, the other year, which may have gotten us there, look, that 9-6-9-7 team was a highly respected team. A lot of people think that team had potential had Riley and the Heat not screwed us with the P.J. Brown, Charlie Ward thing. I think that was a goon tactic by Riley. I think that was highly orchestrated. I'm putting on my tinfoil hat, conspiracy theory. That was a setup all the way around to get the Knicks suspended, ultimately losing that series. You put Brunson with that team. So you're taking out Charlie Ward and Childs, one of them, and you're putting Brunson in there with Houston, Starks, LJ. It's a nice offense right there, man. That's some nice offense right there. Now, are they getting past the Bulls in the Eastern Conference Finals? I think they would play them tough. And then you got to go see the Utah Jazz in the finals. Now Brunson's got to guard Stockton Malone in a pick and roll. That's a little tough. I'm saying that's iffy. I'm giving us back-to-back 94-95. Back-to-back.
That's very generous.
I'm giving them two and maybe three if 9-6-9-7 if the ball bounces the right
way. I was concerned that you're going to tell me 99.
No way. No chance.
I was like, dude.
Ewing wasn't there.
Out the window, but I'm not that great.
Ewing wasn't there. You know what I mean? And he was older. He wasn't there.
Right.
And you weren't stopping young Duncan and Robinson Twin Towers.
I was thinking they were going to go some like, well, if Ewing stayed healthy and all this.
No.
Or maybe if you say if because you had Brunson, Ewing didn't have to be the only guy who had to do everything. Yeah.
We were overmatched completely. But 9-6-9-7 is still intriguing, though. Brunson, Houston, Starks, LJ. Would have been interesting.
That's tough.
You have Oak. You have Ewing. It's interesting.
Tough, man.
Yeah. What do you guys think of the chat, man? How many rings could we have gotten if you transport Brunson into the Matrix and bring him back into the 90s? Give Ewing a much-needed Robin to his Batman. What do you guys think? Leave some comments in the chat. Salute to Fred from Fresh Meadows for a thought-provoking question. Okay, next one. Where are we going to go here? Next one. Okay, here we go. Salute to everybody in the chat. Hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Just scrolling through here. Okay, let's get to Stephen Gomez's question. Stephen Gomez, his question is, he says, I believe it would be a good move for the team to pretty much run it back. Now, if the team starts off strong and going into the trade deadline, they're sitting in the top four seed, do you see them trying to make a move for someone on a losing team to make a push past the pack? And who would that one game changer on a projected losing team be? Knicks Fan TV family stand up. What do you think, Al?
I'm just reading it just so I can get a...
Yeah. Basically saying if they make top four,
Who's the person that we get to put them over the top?
At the trade deadline.
Oh, man. That's tough.
Whew.
Who's trading a top player to a top four team during midseason?
Right.
That's a better question. I guess, realistically, I would have to think probably Embiid if Philly goes haywire. That's what I would think. I'd probably have to think like Embiid is like your top guy they go for to help put you over that edge.
He says on a losing team. It's hard to really know on a losing team, you know. I don't see a marquee name
on
being
a losing.
Traded.
I mean, right. You could say Philly could be on a losing team based on what happens, right?
True.
Could happen, but if, like, we're talking about straight up losing team out the get-go, like a Damian Lillard situation.
Yeah.
Ugh, that's tough.
Yeah.
That's very tough. Who do you think?
It's hard to envision. Is it a PG? Maybe a PG. Price comes down a little bit. The Clippers
maybe.
Fly. PG?
Sure.
Maybe it's a PG. It's hard to see, you know, a major blockbuster deadline like a KD type of thing. Unless, well, maybe. I guess it's possible. Maybe it's an Embiid and maybe it's PG. I don't think at the deadline, I don't think they're trying to make another Josh Hart type of move. You make that, then somebody's fully coming out of the rotation. Like, who's that player? That's what I think. I think in terms of, like, role players, I think they're pretty much stacked. I don't see them making another move for a role player. This is now star or run or keep it intact.
Yeah. And I think you're looking – I think Paul George is very good. I think that's a very good player to note, saying, hey, if this thing goes out in L.A., he could totally be available. The price comes down. Clippers just lost a lot of leverage. Like I said, Philly, you don't know how they're going to go. I mean, I don't see another team that really has somebody on there that fits what the Knicks need. Like Damian Lillard on the Trailblazers would fit that description, but we have Brunson. I mean, I guess unless you think Dallas does the same thing again, where they're out, they're a playing team. Does Luka say, I'm tired of this nonsense, get me out of here?
And the Knicks can. Not so early.
Okay.
That's just my opinion. I don't think so. Not so early.
Do you think Brandon Ingram? Do you think Zion Williamson?
Could it be New Orleans? Could it be? At the deadline,
is Brandon Ingram sound like a guy that takes you over the edge, or is he just kind of like a?
The thing is, when we're talking about losing team, like with the play-in now giving you a chance, you have to have a catastrophic season to just destroy it midway. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because with the play-in, you're not only giving your team a chance. Look at Miami. Look at the Lakers. But you're also giving your organization a chance to make more money. So does it behoove a team to just tear it all down midway through the season unless your star players are just injured and you have no chance? You know what I mean? If you're just locked in from 11 to 15 in your respective conference, I don't see teams really being motivated to just tear it down midway through the season when you have an opportunity to make a plan, unless you're Cuban and you're Dallas. And you got all the nefarious reasons to do so. They should have been fined way more than that.
I agree. But with all that said then, right? My question to you still is, does Brandon Ingram sound like a guy that takes New York to another level?
Yes. I would get
okay.
him.
Okay.
I would get him.
No, I'm talking about for like this question.
Yeah.
For Stephen Gomez's question, is Brandon Ingram that guy? You say yes.
Is he the guy that somebody won us a championship? No, but does he improve this team? Absolutely.
Oh, 100% he improves the team. Yeah, that's without a question.
Yeah.
But he's talking about that star that
– No, I put
like
him
Zion in. Does that. You know what I mean? Zion would do that. Healthy, playing full speed ahead.
Yeah.
Totally does that. So, like, maybe that's a guy that you're looking at on a team that you hope.
True. True indeed, man. Good question by Stephen Gomez. Good question by Stephen Gomez. Okay, next one, Al. We're going to go – oh, we're going WWF question here. My guy Ignacio Lobregat threw some spice in here. Salute to Ignacio. Here it is.
Here we go. CP's happy now. It's like, no more anime.
Here it is.
My wheelhouse.
I did say I'm going to, you know, to try to look into that Dragon Ball Z stuff. But anyway, Ignacio says, Team CP versus Team Alex, Survivor Series teams, who makes the squad? Survivor Series. Now, Survivor Series is a WWF pay-per-view. It's 5-on-5 elimination style. So it's five guys on one team, five guys on another team. You got two guys in the ring at the same time. And the winning team is the team that has the most amount of guys left. Simple concept. Five-man single elimination. So this is how we're going to do it, Al, real quick. We're going to go into the name pick a ninja. We're going to add my name and your name to flip for the first pick. In the draft. Here we go.
Now you have more extensive knowledge than me in this area. I'm going to give you that.
Well, that's probably true. But we'll go for it anyway. Okay, so the first pick is going to go to, look at that, the Traticaster.
Hey,
you're up. Who's the first guy you're taking here for your team?
I guess I'm going to go with, finally, the man himself. I'm going to go with The Rock.
He's going with The Rock. That's a good choice.
Yeah, I'm going to go with The Rock, man.
That's a good choice. Okay. I got to go with my guy, Stone Cold Steve Austin, with my first pick.
All right. For my second pick,
yeah,
I'm going to go with the guy dropping down from the rafters.
Ooh.
The man used to wear yellow and red, but he went black and white instead. I'm taking Sting.
Wow, that was that really cut me to the core, bro. That was my guy. That really cut me to the core.
For the few times that I tapped in, I was like, that guy's awesome.
Yeah.
I like that guy.
Yeah. Yeah, that really hit me, man. That was a good pickup, man. Yeah. That's stagging me a little bit. Like, if this was a fight, that would have knocked me back a little bit. Yeah. Yeah. All right, so you go and Sting. My second pick, I'm going to go with the Ultimate Warrior.
Mm.
Yeah, it's a little before your time. The Ultimate Warrior. I'm going with the Ultimate Warrior. Yeah.
Okay.
Second. Yeah, absolutely.
You're taking the Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. I'm going to have to go with the guy that you can't even see, man.
Yeah.
You can't see this man.
Oh, man. Okay.
I'm taking John Cena.
He's going with John Cena. Wow.
John Cena.
Wow. He's going with John Cena. Wow. All right. Listen, man. I got to go with a big man. You know, I got to go with a big man. I'm going with The Undertaker.
Oh,
got to
okay.
go with The Undertaker.
The Undertaker.
Yep.
All right.
There we go. Yeah, there it is.
All right.
There it is.
All right. I got you on this.
Yep.
I'm going with my guy. With
his
finishing move.
Yep.
The Three Amigos. Eddie Guerrero.
Wow. He's going with Latino Heat. Eddie Guerrero. Wow. Rest in peace.
Yes, rest in peace.
Rest in peace, man. Wow. Okay. Eddie Guerrero. Wow. Okay. All right. Well, who am I going to go with here? So I got Stone Cold. I got Ultimate. I got The Undertaker. I'm going to go with – I got to go with the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels. Yeah.
Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, I got to go with the Heartbreak Kid.
All right.
And your last pick, sir.
Last pick.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go a little fun with this one.
Okay.
Give me Rey Mysterio.
Wow. Wow. Okay. So, okay. So, all right. So you're going small ball here in basketball equivalent, okay?
Yes.
You're going with Rey Mysterio Jr., a legend in his own right. A legend in his own right. Good pickup there. Okay. All right. I'm going to go with, for my last pick. Now, a lot of guys are going to choose from me. I can go with the Hitman, you know, best there is, best there is, best there ever will be. Some people in the chat want me to go with Goldberg.
You can go with,
woo! Oh, the Nature Boy. But you know what? I got to go with my guy. I'm going with Chris Jericho, man.
Oh.
Yeah, that was my guy. Yeah, that was my guy. I got to do it. And so that's where I'm going with it. That's where I'm going with it, man. Yeah, that's what I've decided to do. Chris Jericho. So yeah, that's it. That's it, man. The Survivor Series lineups have been made. People in the chat, what do you think? TM, let's get a poll up here in the chat. Team CP's Team Alex Survivor Series matchup. So we got Alex's team, The Rock, Sting, John Cena, Eddie Guerrero, and Rey Mysterio versus Team CP, Stone Cold, The Ultimate Warrior, The Undertaker, The Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, and Chris Jericho. What do you guys think? Machiavelli in the chat said Chris Jericho, great pickup. One of the best. One of the best. That's a good pickup, man. Yeah.
I know you're a little jealous that I got Sting.
I was, man. I'm not going to lie to you, bro. I'm not going to lie to you, man. When you told me you were a little inexperienced with this thing, I thought I could have sneaked in with the Sting pick.
That's the one guy. I was like, that's the one guy that from every time when I would go to any, whether it was FIE, was it, I'm losing all the tracks of like all the old music and TV stores you can go to. Sting right there, front and center.
Yeah.
On the shelf.
Yeah. That was a good pickup, man. I'm happy that you picked him up. You know, I'm happy that you picked it up. Now people are asking about what happened to the Hulkster, what happened to Hulkamania. It's a little culturally touchy these days, if you know what I mean.
That's not a guy I was going to choose.
That's just not a guy I could choose. You know what I'm saying? Now I don't know what everybody's, you know, going on in their own house and behind their doors, but you know, the Hulkster is just no longer, he's a culturally touchy subject, if you know what I mean. I just can't invite him to the barbecue anymore. I just can't do it. I just can't do it.
Good one was asked about Macho Man. Macho Man.
Rest in peace. Rest in peace to Macho Madness. Oh, yeah. Austin Canales in the chat says, nah, Alex, smoke CP on that one. Wow.
Mm.
Yeah. You know what? Macho Man was a tough one. I probably could have went there instead of Ultimate, but you know, this is Survivor Series, man. I got to go with Ultimate here. He was a good Survivor Series wrestler back in the days. Yeah, he was a good one. Could have went Brock Lesnar. Yeah, could have went Brock.
Oh
Lesnar.
Yeah, Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
I think more of him as UFC though, more than a wrestler.
I'm not. I mean, he did some days, man. He did almost 20 years close to it.
Hmm.
Close to it.
Tells you my experience with the whole thing.
Yeah, close to it. DP says CP. Well, Alex picked The Rock first. He picked him first. I have to go with Stone Cold. He's better anyway.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. Austin 316. Come on, man. Come on, man. Cedro, salute, man. Yeah. So those are the lineups there. Good one.
People asking for Triple H.
Could have went there. Could have went there. Yep. Could have went with Triple H indeed, man.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Okay. Last question from the franchise, from the franchise channel members, and then we're going to announce the winner of the franchise channel member gift of the night for the mailbag. So to everybody who submitted a question, we had over 30 questions submitted based in the community. Shout out to our franchise channel members. Okay. This final one, we're going to go to, let me pull up Brandon's question here. My guy, Brandon Guest. Salute to Brandon Guest. All right, let me just get that in there. Salute to everybody in the chat. How are the people voting so far on our Survivor Series
look,
match?
Man, it's not even a question. Every time my name's in a poll, it's always negative.
The real ones know. 73% Team CP, the Survivor Series matchup. Okay. All right.
Oh, there we go. 70-30. There we go. Now it's starting to get a little bit more kinder. Thank you.
So Brandon Guest now says, he says, since the new CBA requires, his question rather, since the new CBA requires salary matching on trades, do you think this increases the overall value of expiring contracts in the league? If the Knicks trade Fournier for a contract that expires in 2026, it will be a chess move. Can you rank the 2026 free agency class in the order of best basketball fit for our team? Your thoughts there.
Best basketball fit.
Yeah.
Our
So I'll pull up the 26 draft class. I mean free agency class, right? You have De'Aaron Fox, Tatum, Spider, Bam, Giannis.
I mean Giannis would be great.
Rudy Gobert, Butler, SGA, Julius, Kevin Durant, Mikal Bridges.
Yeah, you see, you got Aaron Gordon, you got Rob Williams. Mikal Bridges, that'd be a good one. Anthony Simons, that could be a good fit as well. Hey, look, Jalen Brunson.
Yeah.
And Mitchell Robinson. Paolo Banchero. I'm going to have to say Giannis would probably be the best. But if we're going to talk about if this team is staying the same and you're looking to make a change, maybe you could say Mikal Bridges.
Yeah.
Shadon Sharpe would be another good addition. You got Benedict Mathurin on here too.
Mm-hmm.
You got Keegan Murray. Keegan Murray would be cool.
Yep. I mean, look, 90% of these guys aren't going to hit free agency, right?
They're not. That, which is like what's even like. I'm looking at his name. I'm looking at these lists. Yeah. I'm like, he's getting paid. He's getting paid.
95% of the top players in the class are not going to be there.
Yeah, let me get to a real name that we probably Ayo Dosunmu, Noah Clowney. You know, you got look, Draymond Green. That could be a realistic one.
Yeah. No, Lord.
Let's see who else you got.
Norman Powell.
Matisse Thybul.
John Collins, anyone? Marcus Smart. You have Aaron Gordon. Herder. How about Herder?
Ooh. You'd be good.
Yeah. How about Jaren? Oh, no, he's not making it. Jaren Jackson's not making it. You know, that's the thing. It's like these guys are going to get the bag way before they even hit the market. So it's very hard to tell.
I mean, you got Javon Carter, Harrison Barnes. These are guys that could potentially be free agents around that time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Out of those names, no one's like, oh, Bogdan Bogdanovic.
There you go. There we go. How about DeAndre Ayton? That's a realistic one.
That is a realistic one. Shockingly enough.
That's a realistic one.
You got Colin Sexton, too. Colin Sexton
right.
on this list.
All right. So
maybe CJ McCollum.
Okay. So you got CJ when he's, a couple years older. CJ's a realistic one. You have DeAndre Ayton.
You got Vucevic.
Vucevic.
Oh, man. When you go to realistic names, it gets kind of depressing.
Well, I think we found our guy, right? How about Naz Reid? Naz Reid might be a legit candidate in two more years for the Naz Reid hive.
So now we're going to be questioning Mitchell Robinson and Naz Reid at this juncture.
There you go.
Oh, goody.
There you go. You can go get Naz Reid. How about Kyrie?
That he legitimately could be.
Yeah, yeah. Chris Middleton.
Do you think he's gonna be? You think he'd be an actual free agent at that point?
Probably not. Well, two years? Yes, 2 years. I mean, do the Bucks? Yeah, I think he could.
Do the Bucks really let him go again?
In 2 years, I think he could.
Or I should say again, but do the Bucks actually let him go?
It depends.
He opted out. He opted out of his contract. The Bucks didn't let him go. He opted out.
Right. Depending on how he plays, does he have significant decline over the next 2 years? Injury history? Yeah. So I think
they kind of keep it together, in all honesty. That's just me.
So I think realistic candidates, you're looking at Ayton, Naz Reid. if you want to rank them in order, Ayton, Reid, McCollum. All right?
Yep.
You're going to bring Brunson back, so Van Fleet's really not a question. So it's Ayton, Reid, McCollum, Clarkson. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I don't even think Herter even touches the mark. I think they'd re-sign him because I think he's just so valuable as a shooter.
Yeah. I agree with you.
He's good on a team, or he's good as, like, trade chip material.
Right. Definitely agree with you there.
Woo, man. This list is looking bleak.
Yes, it's a tough one to look at, man. It is absolutely a tough one to look at. So, okay. There's that with that, but salute to Brandon Guest for the question. Ooh, the poll was shifting a little bit more to your side, man. 65-35 in a Survivor Series matchup there. Okay?
As long as it's not a blowout that I'm used to when it comes to the polls, man, I'm happy.
Gotcha. Pause. Okay. Now, so with that being said, to our loyal franchise channel supporters, channel members who submitted questions, we're gonna pick the winner of tonight's prize. And tonight's prize is going to be, Al, let me pull it up. Hang tight. This was a shout-out to the Rhyme Animal, Chuck D, for sure. Let me pull up the graphic here. This was a graphic that Chuck had drew. This was for the Knicks' 75th anniversary. And this was a dope mural that the Rhyme Animal Chuck D had designed himself. One that I got hanging up here in the studio, man. One of my prized studio possessions, and we're going to give one away to a loyal franchise supporter, man. It's the Knicks 75th mural drafted by our very own the Rhyme Animal Chuck D, man. An artist in his own right, man. I got a couple of Chuck pieces here up in the studio. Shout out to Chuck. He also drew one of you, Al. We got to get the Jumping Out the Window Alex edition there. So, So Chuck did send me several prints of this version. I believe the size is 24x36, so it's a fairly nice size piece.
Well, that's big.
Yeah. It's a fairly nice size piece. And so we're going to give one of these away to our loyal franchise channel member for you guys to put it in the frame. All right? So once again, salute to the Rhyme Animal Chuck D for his unwavering support of the channel and its members, man. As he says, he's always in the Moss chat when he can be. So we appreciate him. Everybody throw hashtag PE in the chat to salute the legend. And here we go. Let's get some music in here and give this thing away, man.
No, it's fire.
Yeah. Okay, here it's we fire. Go. NBA Report will be live and direct tomorrow as we review the Phoenix Suns offseason. Got a good guest coming on there. But for right now, the winner of the drawing is Sean LaFontaine, 9052. Sean LaFontaine, 9052, man. Congratulations. We will be on the lookout. You can send us your proof of YouTube username as well as your address to kftvmedia@gmail.com, and we will send you the print of a fantastic piece, man. The Knicks 75th anniversary, NBA 75th anniversary mural, courtesy of the Rhyme Animal, Chuck D, man. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Congratulations to Sean.
Yeah, yeah. And what's cool about this one, it's got Melo and Bernard King's numbers retired, if you notice that, at the top right.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. We've got Melo and Bernard King up there. You got KFTV
in
the middle.
Cool. That's tough.
You know what I'm saying? Fire. Absolute fire, man.
Chuck putting that energy out there into the world. Let's clear all things and make it right.
Yeah. TM says 24 by 36 is a window. Yeah, I think that's the size of these. They're nice size pieces, man. Very nice size pieces. So something to put up, a nice collector's item, if you will. And congratulations to Sean LaFontaine. No relation to Pat. Okay. Al, great show, man. Tap in tomorrow on the NBA report. For those of you at home, salute. Great show. Remember that this show is available in audio podcast format, man. No reason to miss it. Tap in on all major podcast platforms. If you're an Apple Music listener, please leave us a review on Apple Music. It would go a long way. Spotify as well. And also remember to tap in with our sponsors, man. Manscaped.com. Promo code KFTV for 20% off plus free shipping. Check out the new Beard Hedger kit, as well as Lawnmower 4.0. You know that's a flagship product, as well as many other products for today's man. Shout out to our friends at Manscaped for their endless support of the channel. So once again, great show, guys. Great show, Gambler. Great show, TM. Great show, Al. Great show, all the mods, man. All the franchise channel members who participated. You guys are the producers, man. You guys were the producers tonight. So appreciate you guys for your support, making the franchise channel the best. Number one show for the fans, by the fans. KFTV, we out here. Peace. All right, man.
Good stuff, bro.
Yeah, good stuff.
The NBA report is the outro music now?
No, I just threw it on. I was looking for the other one, but I couldn't find it. So
sounds like switching it up over there.